This episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur is sponsored by NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. Bring all your digital marketing to a new level with their simple three-click method. And by Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
I had a system where I literally called people leads once a quarter forever. It was
just a regular follow-up.
If they told me, hey, I'm not interested anymore.
I'm just saying hi.
It takes 5 seconds. If you're not afraid of the phone, you can do it. And to give one example is there was one guy I called for, I don't know, 8 or 9 years, never got an order ever.
But you stayed in touch.
Joke. How's the family? Right. How's the kids?
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't care. It took 30 seconds of my life. You know,
right.
It's fine. I can call 100 people a day doing that.
Yeah.
And then one day he said, you know, Mark, you're the only guy I know that called me so long and never got an order, but never gave up. And that year he generated almost $500,000 in sales. I'd say that was worth 30 seconds of my time 4 times a year for 8 years.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
it doesn't always work that way.
No, but if you have a regular system, a habit of doing
the information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
My name is Mark Eli. I'm K&E Travel, a 30-year travel agency. If you're booking travel and you're not getting a check when you come home, you should be booking with K&E Travel.
All right, Mark. So welcome to the show. I appreciate you coming on. We had met through a couple of networking groups, I believe, right?
Yes.
And we started talking about the travel business. So my mom was a travel agent years ago. Probably retired 20 or 30 years ago now. So I'm somewhat familiar with, I know the word IOTA or IATA number or whatever.
IATA.
Yeah, IATA. Okay. And the business has changed a lot, but maybe we could, you know, go back to a little bit about your history, your background, and kind of how you got into the business. Cause I think you have a unique business model that's doing well in an industry that's been a little battered and bruised over the years, I guess, right? Especially from the airline. I mean, forget it. You can't make any money on that stuff. But maybe you want to go backwards.
No, we don't make any money at all.
Right. So maybe you want to go backwards a little bit, and then we'll bring it up to today with what you're doing.
So in 30 years ago, I formed K&E Travel. Originally, it was formed to supplement another business I had, which was a promotion business. We sold promotional vacation certificates.
Okay.
In order in the state of Florida, what you needed to do at that point was either put up a $50,000 cash bond or you were a travel agency. So I became a travel agency.
Interesting. Okay.
So at that time, I hired some people that were working for other travel agencies, paid them a little bit more money. And it was basically, it kind of ran itself. But eventually, as I saw them doing certain things and I started to learn the business, we started building on, at that time, airline tickets, because we got paid for airline tickets.
Right, you could still get paid those days.
Right, so that was great. And we were doing 1,000 airline tickets a week.
Wow.
So that was continuing for a number of years.
And you were still doing the travel certificates?
We were still doing the travel certificates. And
what were those, like discounts? Like you could buy a discount package? It was a way to prepay and then save money on the travel? Like what was it?
No, a vacation certificate is this. You may have seen it before. Come take a test drive, get a free 3-day, 2-night vacation.
Come and look at their facility and see it and sell it to them. And right,
I'm sure resorts.
Right, I remember you go sit in the room. Yeah, right. Okay.
So we did actually in the first 20 years over 20 million vacation certificates in North America.
Well, all over the country.
All over the country, little guys, big guys, and everything in between.
So that's a common practice to bring people into your facility, basically, to showcase whatever property you have?
It was. It was one of the biggest because it had the lowest cost and the highest implied value. You could buy a piece of paper, which, I mean, there are still businesses that still do it today. We do not because the industry has changed so much, but you could buy anything from as little as $1 up to $50, depending upon the type of certificate it was and what was entailed with it.
Got it.
And, you know, car dealerships went through them by the thousands, and timeshare resorts did the same. Some of the other companies may have gone through, you know, much smaller amounts, but.
Are they still doing it today? I know you're not doing it, but is that still a practice?
They still do it, but the numbers are a fraction of what they were. So it was one of those other things that I had to, as the common name today is pivot.
Right.
And, you know, I pivoted out of that business, you know, at the right time, luckily.
Right. But that was 10 years ago? So you did it for 20 years. I mean, you did it a long time, right?
We did it a long time. So, and I probably may have been better moving out of it maybe a year or so earlier, but I think I caught the full wave of it. But, you know, in the mid 2000s, everything changed with the economy and it just, the internet.
Right.
It just didn't become as profitable
as it
was back then.
Right.
So we were doing 1,000 airline tickets a week, and then the airlines decided one morning I'd come into work and on the fax machine, you know, the old fax machine.
Yeah, right.
It's still there.
Yeah.
So I still have the same fax number, actually, for 30 years.
Right.
Delta Airlines said, as of last night, your commissions are cut in half. And I saw the writing on the wall. Sure enough, in 6 months or so, give or take, they cut it to zero.
Yeah, because they found they could go directly to people through their websites. They didn't need travel agents anymore.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, to a point. So we had to start charging fees, and it just didn't. The profitability wasn't anywhere near what it was, you know, writing an airline ticket, charging a $25 fee or a $50 fee. So I went from 28 employees down to 5.
Wow.
In a matter of 60 days.
And those were traditional travel agents?
They were travel agents, bookkeepers. You know, I'm from the days when airline tickets were 8-part carbons and you had to rip them down.
Yeah, right.
Stack them up and put them in a report and collate adding machine tapes.
Plus, what was the system that my mom used to use?
Saber.
Yeah, Saber.
Amadeus.
Yeah,
there was
Saber.
There was two or three
one.
Of them.
They're still around or no?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
So Saber's still used by, you know, there are still agencies that still book airline tickets and, you know, mostly corporate.
Yeah,
you
right.
Know, it's not really the vast majority of travel agents today are, number one, are brick and mortar. They're home based.
Right.
And after this, with the pandemic, they're even more. Yeah. I'm actually the last brick and mortar agency within 20 miles.
So you do have a brick and mortar.
I do. I have a regular office and staff here. And
right. Okay.
So, you know, so we changed with that. And then in the early 2000s, I was approached by a network marketing company to become a travel agent program. And it worked okay being in the background and them doing the marketing and then just getting paid for people that were coming on. But it got to be, as it is in many cases in network marketing with travel specifically, it's a problem. There are some successful companies that have been around a while, but the vast majority don't last more than a year or two. you know, it's churn and burn in that, in the travel industry for that particular thing.
Now, Mark, this company was a company that set up network marketing companies in different industries, not just travel.
No, well, they had in the past, but they specifically built a company around the travel and around me.
Oh, okay.
So it was, you know, worked out well in the beginning, and we actually got people to book travel. And remember, still in the early 2000s, yes, the internet was around for a while, but really not.
You're still feeling your way, yeah, right.
2002, 2003.
Right. I think even at that point, we really didn't have high speed for the most, for the average consumer, right?
No, maybe most were still dial-up.
Dial-up, DSL, maybe they were moving to. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No Fios, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we kept that model and transitioned away from the network marketing company and kept that model and started building on that model. Today, we have over 350 agents across the United States.
Right.
The consortia that I belong to, I'm in the, out of 7,500 agencies in the U.S., I'm in the top 50. My previous consortia that I was with, I was in the top 2% in volume. So, you know, it's a lot of people working together and building up a network of with the vendors to increase our commissions, especially in the case of cruise lines, because with the cruise lines, it's totally volume based.
Okay.
You know, for the commissions.
Meaning you get a higher commission based on, so you're pooling your volume basically.
Correct. Correct. Okay. So it benefits the people that are doing one cruise a year or 10 cruises a year to the same guys that I have people that do 500 to 1,000 cruises a year. They have large groups they do and things of that nature. So.
Right. But even though you have a virtual network of agents, right? It's not a network marketing company, meaning there's
absolutely
no downline, right? There's no, I don't get 25 people underneath me to, right? It doesn't work that
way. There's only two levels, me and them.
Right, right. Do they get a referral fee if they refer somebody to you one
if
time?
If they
or
refer
something?
Somebody to me, the first thing I tell them is if they work with me, then you're not going to make any commission on anything they do. So what I do is the sign up fee that I charge. And in many cases, I waive it. But if somebody refers it, I definitely would charge a fee and give the agent that did the referral the full fee, which is like
so just a one-time referral fee. Yeah,
so one-time referral fee.
Right.
And but I would say the vast majority of the people that come to me don't pay a fee the first year at all.
Okay, and they're making their money, but booking their own travel, booking their friends' travel, whatever.
Absolutely.
Whatever.
Yep.
Okay, now what you came across that because of your experience with the network marketing company and you kind of saw the business changing or?
I saw the business changing and I thought it would, we have to be able to make this work in mainstream America outside of network marketing. And, you know, I started off small and still, cause I still have the other business still going and slowly but surely started building it. And when things flipped, I had the travel business to fall back on and reinvent myself again. And I just got more aggressive with the my own recruiting. So,
how do you recruit? I mean, obviously locally you can do it, but yeah.
Yeah. Now we do everything's by referral. And you know, I don't do very much advertising.
Cause you built up such a big network.
Right. And you know, we're building on a good solid base.
Right.
And, you know, I've done a lot of good things in the industry and for the industry. Last year, I personally was in the top 150 agents individually with Celebrity Cruise Line in North America.
Just your own production.
Just my own personal bookings that I've made.
Right.
You know, people that I've known over the many years.
Right. And you're down in Florida, too. But I guess Corona didn't help the travel. I mean, the travel business didn't help. It certainly didn't help the cruise lines.
We haven't had a cruise since March 13th. So it's, in 5 months, it's been a different experience. You know, we spent the first 2 months helping our agents and thousands of clients between their clients and our clients here at the home office and making changes, cancellations,
right.
Refunds.
Which you don't get paid for, right?
We made zero money.
Yeah. That's the hard part, right? Is that you don't get paid till they leave, I think, right?
We don't get paid until after they travel or just before they travel in the case of a cruise line. But anything other than a cruise line is paid after travel.
Oof, that's hard. Yeah. So
we had to pivot again.
Well, I mean, that's one of, and we could talk more about this. That's one of the, I think, things that business owners are going to have to do. You know, I'm a big advocate of, like, you know, having a business plan and following your plans and putting things in writing. It doesn't have to be an MBA style, you know, business plan to raise money with a pitch deck. It's just really a strategic plan, right? I mean, you know, your marketing plan may be more important than your financial strategy, or your operations manual for a certain company may be more important than, you know, another part of your, you know, in terms of your product is really the opportunity or the service that you bring to the agent, right? You, your products are out there. They're going to come and go because of the travel agents. You're not starting your own cruise line. So that's going to change, but exactly. It's the service that you offer. So, you know, everybody comes to me and they say, business planning, I'm a service-based business, doesn't really apply to me. Well, it does. It's just the different parts of it apply, you know, to other people. And I think that going forward, one of the parts that is definitely going to apply to everybody, and that's like a resiliency plan or a contingency plan. You know, what do I do if my industry changed? I mean, your industry has gone through some significant changes.
Yes.
Because of the advent of technology and the availability and the ability of the travel industry to reach people. You know, in the old days, how did cruise lines reach people? I don't know, ads, television, certainly travel. They relied on the whole travel industry to bring, you know, their customers to, you know, right? That's what you would do. You would go to your local travel agent and you'd be like, listen, we were thinking of going on a family cruise. We wouldn't know anything, right? You go, well, you know, Viking's great and Cunard's great. And you know, you princess or celebrity, all the different ones, you know, what's the one we went on recently? Royal Caribbean a couple of years ago. So, but you relied on the travel agent for that. Now you go to their website. You can, you know, do a virtual tour of these. It's ridiculous. So
well, there are many things that people could do, but we're actually seeing even from millennials, a big change in that. Not everything on the internet is true, and they're finally
seeing that. Well, of course, it's going to be fluffy and look good, right?
So we, as agents, are experienced enough, and if our agents aren't experienced, we have ways to get them that knowledge, and we're here to help them with that.
Right.
For their clients, so they can start from scratch and do it. But people are finding that by going through an agent, which, by the way, 85% of all travel today is booked with a live person, whether that be from a website, with
including
a
airlines,
the airlines are separate. Okay. Other than an airline ticket, because they're not really sure, as smart as they think they are, or when it comes to travel, it's not as easy as just booking from here to there.
Right.
And they're finding that when there's a problem, there's a problem. You need a live person. So with us, which is where we actually shined in this tragedy of, you know, COVID.
Right.
We were there. We were working 80, 90 hours a week, helping make sure that they didn't have to sit on the phone like we did. So but when we stayed on the phone for 3 hours waiting for a vendor to pick up, we had 20 clients to take care of at the same time. So we were on the phone for another 2 hours. You know, once we finally got through, but a client didn't have to do that. We did that.
Right.
And you'll also find, especially in the cruise industry, is that we will never be more than the cruise lines themselves, ever. It'll always be the same price or better. I do over 1,000 group bookings a year where right. We block out space sometimes 2 years in advance.
Sure.
You know, I have something right now on Celebrity for spring break for a 5-day and a 7-night. That's like $800 less than Celebrity can get right now in their own system. Because me or anybody else like me that blocked out 2 years ago, I control that space for another, right. You know, 6 months.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's tremendous benefits for using a local travel agent and a live person, because they'll do the research, they'll send you all the different things, and they'll be there every step along the way to make sure everything's different, you know, sure. Done properly.
Yeah.
And especially with COVID, things are changing in the travel industry and what you need to do, what you need to plan. There's probably going to be a COVID test required to get on a cruise ship is sure. What my guess is.
Right.
Certainly you can't even go to Europe right now,
right.
But Mexico you could go to, you don't need a COVID test, but you can go to Mexico right now.
Okay.
And they keep to the CDC protocol. We have clients there now. they're having a phenomenal time.
And then when they come back, they got to quarantine like for 14 days. They have to quarantine when they get back for 14 days?
No. Well, actually, you know, it depends upon the state. In Florida, the answer is no. In New York, the answer is yes. In New Jersey, yes. Yes. Connecticut, too, right? Yes. Yeah. It's a self-quarantine, and whether they check it or not, I don't know
how you check it. Yeah.
I don't either, but, you know, I know they've been spot checking in certain cases, but you go to other places in the Caribbean, you have to have a test like 3 days ahead of time, and it has to be,
right.
There's a lot of timing involved, and you doing navigating all this on your own, not so easy.
Right.
We do it every day.
I agree.
It makes a big difference.
Especially on cruises and on these land packages. You're on the phone all the time with these operators, and they're not like the travel agents, the person you call to talk about all the different options. If you call whatever, Royal Caribbean, you're only talking to a Royal Caribbean, right?
That's absolutely correct.
They're not going to say, oh, you know, we have a good deal, but my friend over at Viking, well, they got something really going on there, and they'll do this and that for you, and I can get you this. And I think that you're right. People that value their time, obviously going on a cruise or a trip is not a – you're not doing it for economics because you're saving money. You're doing it because it's a vacation. It's extra, right? So if you're doing it, you don't want to do it where – when we went on the cruise, we used a friend who's a travel agent, and we had problems, not because of her, but because with the cruise line, and she dealt with it. We didn't have to deal with those things, you know? And I think that you're right. I think that's one of the things that people the do-it-yourselfers – I mean, there's always be do. Look, there's do-it-yourself people that do their own legal work, and then they get in trouble, and they call me, and they're like, what do you think of this? I'm like, well, it's a mess, and this is why. I give you 50 reasons. Oh, yeah, I should have called you from the beginning. So,
but that's who we actually look for, is the do-it-yourselfers. If you're doing it for yourself, you're paying the same thing that
we to join
would,
your
as
network.
An agency, charge you, even though we don't charge you anything. It's the cruise lines or the vendor or whatever. But the difference is when you come home, you're going to have a check in your mailbox.
Right.
That's the difference.
In terms of joining your network, right? So if you're a do-it-yourselfer, they should join you as like a side gig, right? They can.
It's free money. It's win-win. You're going to get a minimum based on the volume that you end up doing. 50% of whatever you make. If I make $100, you get 50, I get 50. If I make $1,000, you get 500, I get 500. And the more you make in commissions, the more money, your percentage goes higher every time. And once you achieve a certain higher level, you never go backwards. You don't have to have, oh, I got to do it again this year. No, you're always at that level or higher. I never penalize somebody for doing that.
Good. Okay. Well, that, we're bouncing around and that's fine, but I think that's a good kind of segue into. So I have a lot of people that are looking for other opportunities. You know, they're looking for, let's call them, you know, the gig economy, looking for side hustles, side gigs, they're looking for additional streams of revenue. And I think that, and that's one of the reasons why you and I started talking, in a world where, you know, everybody's got a network marketing company and they're affiliate marketing and they're like, hey, you know, if you promote me and get 50 people and, you know, everybody's hitting each other up, it's a unique opportunity for someone who's going to travel anyway and may have friends who travel anyway and doesn't want to become an expert at it. You know, you'll spend a lifetime learning about the travel industry. They got you to learn and the backbone of your whole system. I think it's a unique opportunity. Do you know of other companies in your industry that are doing it like this, or you're pretty much a unique model?
No, there are people definitely that are bigger than me that are doing it. They charge a lot more than I do, number one. Require a lot more. You know, for me, I don't care if you book one booking a year for you and your family, I'm good.
Right.
I only charge $69 a year on renewal.
They get you. They're not dealing with some operator or some
somebody here in the office to, you know, help them. And even if we did most of the work, you're still getting paid. To me, it's free money. It's a win-win. It makes perfect sense. You know, I'd rather make a little bit from a whole bunch of people than nothing of nothing.
Well, it also spreads out your risk, right? So, you know, if the system changes over, you know, over time, people become inactive, more people become more active. It's just it's a volume business. But you said you also still have your brick and mortar agency. So you have people that either come in or deal with you on the phone or whatever, who are clients of yours.
Correct.
Customers of yours. So do you have agents in the office in Florida too, like traditional agents?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you still have the traditional model. So basically, they're part of a traditional, a real travel agency as opposed to these network marketing companies, which are, I don't know, they're really travel agencies.
Well, they're definitely not. They're basically recruiters is what they are. And there's nothing wrong with network marketing. I don't think there's any, but in the travel business, you're dealing with people's savings with trips that could be, you know, once a year, that's all they can afford.
Right.
You know, do you want to deal with someone that says, here, go to a website and do it? Well, why do you need them?
Right.
You can go to a billion websites if you, that's the way you want to go.
Right.
But if you want real service, you need to deal with a real person that actually knows what they're doing and not trying to recruit you to, for you to do it and just give somebody else a site. You're not really, I mean, they do okay because of sheer numbers.
Right.
You know, you throw enough stuff against the wall, it's going to stick, but we're not in that business.
Huge networks, right, exactly.
I teach my agents, we are developing relationships. And I have many agents that start off, like I said, just for them and their families. And then all of a sudden they're doing something for a neighbor because the neighbor likes what they did, but previously they weren't getting paid for it. And eventually I've got a guy that, he used to be a pastor in a church, specifically in the choir. Now he does, you know, this year he would have done close to 750 cabins. Now everybody's moved to next year. Of course, we lost the income from this year, but he has 750 to 1,000 cabins booked next year already for groups. And he started off, you know, doing 10 here, 5 there, whatever. And, you know, he does it full time. 99% of my agents are, this is a part-time gig. You know, like I said, they just do it for them and their families and that's it. And I'm okay with that.
Right. All right. Let's go backwards then, because you're an entrepreneur, you own your own business. A lot of people don't necessarily do that. They'll go work for a travel agency or work for another company in another industry. How did you get started and what made you become the boss? Like, you know, where did that kind of come about?
So I've owned a couple of businesses over my life and some were not so great. Some were pretty good.
Totally different industries?
Totally different industries. I wasn't in New York. I was in the air freight and trucking business. My wife at the time, her cousin owned it. I started off as
logistics basically, right? You're talking getting stuff from one place to another. Yeah.
I started off as an accountant and I had my CPA. And then I hated accounting, went into private, but it was so small a business that as they were growing, I got into sales and marketing, grew into a multi-million dollar company pretty quickly. But the infighting between cousins and things.
In the logistics business.
Logistics,
in the trucking. Okay.
And then I came to Florida 38 and a half years ago.
You said, where were you? We're up here?
Long Island. Yeah.
Oh, Long Island. We're in Long Island.
Plainview is where I grew up.
Okay.
And then I moved to Queens and then I moved when I got married and then I moved down here.
Yeah. My wife's cousins are in Huntington. It's where I was on the North
Shore. Right next door.
Got to go out this weekend. Not looking forward to the drive. So, okay. So then what made you relocate to Florida?
My wife wanted, her parents were going to retire. They were very close. They wanted to come down here I bought a small wiping cloth business.
Wiping cloth?
Yeah, we sold rags, believe it or not. It was called Need a Rag.
Okay.
And I bought the business from somebody and expanded it. I had rags. They use them for machine shops and Bell South or Southern Bell when it was called way back when.
Right.
They used to lay cable and they would use torn up uniforms and rip the gel off and they needed something cheap to throw away. I had every Bell South yard from Key West.
So you would sell, they were disposable. So there are boxes of these rags.
And boxes, on all 25 pound boxes of stuff.
So you sell like train loads of this stuff.
Thousands and thousands of pounds a week they went through.
Okay. So you bought that business though. It was a small business when you bought it?
I bought that, but I grew it into a pretty big business. And then it was, the timing was right and I sold it.
And now a word from our sponsors. NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. It's everything you need to market online, and it's totally automated. Build custom websites, optimize them for Google rankings, and automatically create ads and social media posts to drive the most traffic to your sites. Their fully integrated system generates regular email newsletters, manages all your customers and prospects, and provides up-to-date marketing analytics. NowSite. You do your thing. and we'll do the marketing. Use our affiliate link in the show notes to learn more about NowSight and how it can help your business. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's L-A-W to 21000. Or follow our link in the show notes to learn how you can get this valuable tool for you and your company. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their link in our show notes to learn more and get connected with Fetch. And now back to our show.
I took it easy for a year or so and then went into sales and marketing, bounced around a bunch.
Right.
Got involved in the promotion business with somebody else working for them.
Corporate promotions, like logo stuff.
The giveaway stuff, that things that gave away, not the imprinted stuff.
No.
Sold everything from wrenches to first aid kits. Again, companies that would give stuff away for people to make appointments and, you know, in-home sales and things of that nature.
Got it.
Did very well, helped the guy build his business. And I asked him for a little bit more money. He said no. And
so you were just working for him. You didn't own that.
I was just working for him, and he was showing me the business. I had never worked it before him. He had a warehouse full of stuff, and he said, you know, here's an office, here's a phone, go sell. And I did, and I built the business up quite a bit.
Right.
And I asked for a little more money. He didn't want to do it, and I said, okay. And that's when I left and formed K&E, and we started selling vacation certificates. Well, I was already selling vacation.
Oh, because you were in the promo. I got it. So it was like,
it was a lateral move.
Yeah.
And except it was my own. And, you know, we built it up to a really good business. And, you know, we did very well for a very long time until, you know, things started shifting and I had to start rebuilding again. And I chose the travel agency as my rebuild.
Now, so you've been in several, actually not just businesses, you've been in different industries.
Totally.
Yeah, totally different industries. So what do you attribute your success? I could guess, but I don't want to guess. So because you, well, the logistics business was different, right? You're growing the business, a family business, then you're like, I can't deal with a family anymore. So you make a move down here. Then you, I guess, were looking for businesses to buy or start, right? And you found this business. What, with the rag business, for example, not a complicated product, right?
No.
So what did you think attributed to your success in that business? Sales and marketing?
Sales and marketing, 100%.
Right.
And persistence. I am very persistent. I had designed, when I started K&E, I didn't design it because I'm not a computer guy, but I had somebody design based on what I wanted. Back in MS-DOS, a follow-up system, because I saw that in the other company.
A CRM, basically, that you can get now.
Well, basically, but I have my own. It's custom made.
Well, it wasn't like now. We just go plug into some, right.
So it was, it worked out really well. And it was an MS-DOS. And I had it turned into a Cold Fusion computer system, which is a great system. But now it's antiquated.
Obsolete,
very few people can do it. And I'm actually, December, I committed to $50,000 to redo our entire programming to be written in a language that more people understand.
With K&E?
With K&E, yeah. And we're like a month away from flipping the switch and changing the entire system for me as an admin, as well as for the agents. The agents won't see as much. They'll see a little bit different.
Right.
And a little bit easier when they post commissions and things of that nature. But for me as an admin, it's going to be a big difference because I'm in it every single day, all day long.
So. Right. Be able to track everything. Well, look, systems are very important, right? How you, the systems you have, that's what you did, right? You're in sales and marketing. You're like, well, I got to track my leads. I got to keep track of this stuff.
Oh yeah.
You had a system built. A lot of people don't. And then it gets out of control with them. So, and you're also a numbers guy. So even though you didn't like being a CPA, you obviously understand the financial side of it. Although with regs, it might not have been too complicated. You know how much you had to pay, you know how much you had to sell it for, but getting it to the customer, right? You know, I think sales and marketing, if you had to pick the most important part of your approach to business, right? That's probably it, right? Because you could have the best systems in the world, the best people and the best financial reports, but if you have no sales, you might as well go home, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And for me personally, if you talk to some of my clients, especially in the promotion business, which I still have a little bit of, but
right,
I've had them for many years. I had a system where I literally called people leads once a quarter forever. It was
just a regular follow-up.
I don't care if they told me, hey, I'm not interested anymore.
Hey, just it's Mark. I'm just saying hi.
It takes 5 seconds. If you're not afraid of the phone, you can do it. And to give one example is there was one guy I called for, I don't know, 8 or 9 years. Never got an order, ever.
But you stayed in touch.
How's the family? Right. How's the kids?
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't care. It took 30 seconds of my life, you know,
right.
It's fine. I can call 100 people a day doing that.
Yeah.
And one day he said, you know, Mark, you're the only guy I know that called me so long and never got an order, but never gave up. And that year he generated almost $500,000 in sales. I'd say that was worth 30 seconds of my time 4 times a year for 8 years.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean,
it doesn't always work that way. It doesn't always work.
No, but if you have a regular system, a habit of doing it.
Exactly.
You know, there's a book that I talk about all the time. We're doing it in my study group, actually, called The Referral of a Lifetime. It's a, like a 100-page parable story, you know, one of these Ken Blanchard type of books. But it's about, building a keep-in-touch system, which, by the way, if you don't want to make a phone call, I mean, there's ways to do it nowadays where you can keep in touch with people on a regular basis easily, right? Producing content, sending them an email, pinging them, whatever it happens to be. So I think that you're right. I think that there's no excuse, and a lot of people aren't this organized, with keeping after people that are part of your world, right? You know, they could always say, Mark, listen, I appreciate calling me, but please don't call me anymore. You're bothering me. Okay, so you won't call them anymore, right? But
I'll call them in six months.
Right? Hey, listen, I know you didn't want to call me, but you know, I just wanted to stay in touch with you. But see, but that's persistence. And I think that there's ways to do it without being annoying to people, with being just helpful to people. And I think a lot of people miss that part of their business where they can put in processes, even on their calendar, that reminds them, hey, don't forget to call this person or that person or stay in touch. Keeping yourself top of mind is very important, because that guy would have done business with somebody. And because you were the one that was in front of him and were always after him and, hey, how you doing? Just a friend, and built a relationship. Of course he's going to go to you. Who else would he go to? Why would he go to somebody hasn't been speaking to for the last 6 years? He's been speaking to you every quarter for the last 6 years. So, you know, and I think a lot of people don't value, they miss that.
I think there's so many tools that are available today that are either free or cheap.
Yep.
I mean, you can use a CRM for $10 a month. You can get a CRM that will do, you know, anything. I mean, there's lots of things you can do. You can keep track of every conversation. You can do follow-ups every morning you wake up, and there's a calendar in front of you. Who are you going to call?
Right. There's a lot of these systems where until you have a certain number of people, like in your system, they don't even charge you. Like MailChimp's like that. You'd have 2,000 people on your mailing list. I think Agile, which is a CRM also, you could have a certain number of people before they even charge you. And even when they charge you, it's like you said, 10 bucks a month or something. It's not expensive. It's just that people don't, I don't know what it is. They're just so busy running to the next opportunity that they don't value the relationships that they've already found, you know? It's like you have 10,000 people, it's gold. But if you don't reach out to them, just having names on your list pretends like you're in business. You're not really
exactly
invest, you know. So but I think that's a testament to you, because you're looking at basically 3 or 4 businesses, right, that you've been a part of that have been successful. Let's use the promotions company that you didn't own as one, and then the new company that was a really kind of a promotions company that pivoted into travel as one whole company, right? And then you had the rags company, and then you had the logistics company. So you've had a history of success. But I think that a lot of people for listening, because, you know, this is about entrepreneurship and small businesses and so forth, that they need to, that's one thing you should learn. You should learn about sales and marketing and how to keep in touch with people, and about these systems, like you said, that you don't have to develop yourself nowadays. You don't have to build your own CRM follow-up system nowadays. you know, thank God. Right. But nowadays you find a website, you sign up 10 minutes, you're off and running, right? You can import all of your contacts and
in a minute.
Yeah. You don't have to send out a the funny thing, the book was written 15, 20 years ago. Now it's been updated with electronic means in it. But originally, what did you have 300 people on your list? You had to send them a postcard. You didn't send them an email that didn't exist, you know? So I think that, and the phone is harder obviously today because people are more insulated. You know, they can see if you're calling, they don't recognize the number, but you can text them, you can email them. There's different ways to touch people and remind them that you exist on a regular basis, you know?
One of the things I started using recently was a video email program.
I've seen one of those. You mean where the email goes and it's like a video attached to it or embedded in the email?
It's embedded in, so it's not an attachment. So they don't really have to download anything. They just click on it.
Right.
And it opens up the screen. Some software programs, email programs, open it up right in the email. Some, it pops open a screen. And, you know, I can do up to 20 minutes, which I'd never do except to my agents where I'm doing some kind of training or something. But
right.
But I can send a video email for, you know, 30 seconds or some or less, and they see a face. They see, right. You know, I don't have anything fancy. This is my background. That's it. I'm
no, but you're a real person. It's not just words on a page. It was sent by some guy in a garage, exactly. You know.
And they could put, you know, a face with the voice to people that have never met me. Believe me, I haven't met 99% of the people that I do business with and haven't for decades.
Right.
So my phone is, you know, my friend when I do it, and I'm not afraid of the phone, but the video email, the click rate is amazing.
Yeah. Much higher than regular emails, right?
It's just unbelievable. You know, the response that I've gotten from that, it's very inexpensive. It could be as little as $25 a month. It's,
yeah.
And I can send unlimited amount.
Yeah. No, I think that's, people don't realize how that really builds a relationship. More so. That's why I do podcasting, because if somebody listens to you for 40 minutes or whatever in their head, you build a relationship with them that's different than a blog post or an article or an email that you send them. And I think the video emails are, you're going to obviously see more and more of that kind of stuff. Now, are you spending most of your time in business development finding additional agents or bringing in business for the agency?
It's kind of a mix. I'm very involved locally in the community that I've lived in for over 30 years. I do, you know, a lot of business things in the community that don't generate income, things, you know, where I volunteer my time.
Goodwill PR type of stuff. Sure. Yeah.
Every Tuesday we're feeding right now. Unfortunately, we're feeding, you know, 900 to 1,000 families locally. Wow. It's every Tuesday morning. We're there at 7 o'clock, 7:30 in the morning.
Fantastic. And yeah.
Going through all that. We've been doing that for 16 weeks now, going on 17 tomorrow.
Is that a group you're volunteering for? It's an organization?
Yeah, it's a volunteer. So it's through the village and the Rotary. So, you know, volunteer, it's all volunteers. So we do that. And again, I've been involved with local chamber and other things. So I've always done all the networking events.
Sure.
Now I do a lot more Zoom networking
events.
It's
easier to go to
events
now.
Right?
Yeah, right. That's how we met.
So it's, you know, it's good to meet some people from outside. But so I spend my time doing that and working with the agents and, you know, just organically I recruit people, but that's more locally.
Right.
And now through Zoom, you know, outside my local area. So, and I do all the admin, being the accountant, you know, I do all the admin for the business and, you know, I've got a system down and takes maybe depending upon the day, other than Fridays, which normally is our big payday, on Friday. Unfortunately, they haven't been either non-existent or very small lately.
Right. Right.
That's just when everybody pays. A lot of the big hotel chains pay, all the cruise lines pay.
Money's come in on Fridays.
Friday is posting day. So, and I got to get it done before I go play golf. So, you know, Friday is a busy morning.
Okay. Yeah. So anybody within the continental United States can work with you or even in any 50 state, all 50 states?
Everywhere, all 50 states. And we do have some Canadians as well.
Oh, okay. So you can deal all of North America, really?
Yeah. Some of the people in Canada, for the most part, those are people that are booking travel. They work for somebody like on the road. So they've been doing all their own booking, but not making any money. So now they're still doing their own booking, still getting their points and everything else. And they're getting a commission check on the backside.
So they're booking corporate travel for their company and getting paid because the company doesn't cost the company more money. So
not a penny. And they just get reimbursed like normal. I also have probably about a dozen companies that have guys normally on the road and they book their travel for their people. And somehow each one is a different story, but I got into the owner. He became an agent. And his office does all the bookings under his number, under our number, but through his ID with us.
Right.
And he gets a commit. He's paying the same money.
Right.
He's getting a commission check for the stuff he's normally paying anyway.
Yeah, it's like a cash back credit card, right? You use the credit card Basically what it is. Better than that.
It's much better because, you know, usually those cash backs are 1%, 2%.
Right.
So with the hotel, we make 10%. So the minimum he's going to get is 5%. He can make as much as, you know, 75% or 7.5%.
7.5%, right.
You know, depending upon, you know, the volume. And I have one of those guys. He's got 37 guys on the road, and they're on the road every week.
They're staying at hotels all over the place, right?
They're going all over the place, and they're staying at, you know, various types of hotels. And, you know, Hilton's, Hyatt's, Marriott's, so they're not staying at Super 8's or anything
Right. So it's a few hundred dollars a night each place.
He's paying some big bucks and, you know, he's making the money on the backside. He's making money. I'm making money. It's like a no brainer. It's just, you'd be surprised how many people we don't get because they just don't get what they don't get.
Right. But it's funny. You kind of fell into this because of the company that approached you about network marketing. Right. And you were like, this is a great idea. I could do this on my own.
Exactly. And make more money with a lot less controversy.
Right. Yeah, well, the whole network marketing thing is obviously, it's almost like franchising. It's complicated and all kinds of disclosures and things you got to do.
Yeah, I mean, if you're selling controversial potions and potions, it's something different. Travel is a whole nother ball of wax when it comes to networking. So.
Right. Well, I hope that, I mean, when things start picking up, certainly it'll be much better for everybody. We're going to be looking at some real difficult.
I think we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel a little bit. We've done a lot in the last 6 weeks, 8 weeks with drive-to vacations. Obviously, not for us here in Florida. It's in Florida, but other agents throughout the United States, they've been doing drive-tos to their local areas.
Right.
Mexico, as I mentioned, we've had a fair amount of people for that. And we've seen a lot of bookings for next year. We're actually at, for 2021, it's not quite where 2020 was. But I'll never really know what 2020 could have been.
No, it's a year with an asterisk. I mean, it's not,
I mean, we did as much volume as of February of this year for 2020 as we did all of last year, which was double the year before.
That was just before Corona shut everything down,
just
right?
Just before it showed up, and then we had the hard stop, and, you know.
Now, you're talking about bookings, or you're talking about revenue?
So, at the end of February, I had more business booked for 2020 than I did all of 2019.
And then all of it got put off.
That all either got canceled or put off or, well, canceled, and we're not going to pay. So.
Right. So you basically had this juggernaut of business that was going to result in revenue throughout the year, and it just got crushed.
Yeah, we lost in 5 months of actual deposited bookings almost $9 million.
Of gross spending, meaning you would get a commission
gross
on
gross revenue that we would get commissions on. It's well over $1 million in commissions that we would have gotten.
Holy shit. Yeah. Well, what do you see in terms of the ramifications of all the stuff in the travel industry? You see airline, hotel chains going out of business or cruises closing? What do you see going on?
You'll definitely see a lower capacity of all the above. As far as cruise lines go, you know, Carnival has already announced that they are parking, you know, 30-40% of their fleet is not going to sail in the first two quarters of 2021.
Right. Because I would assume you need a certain amount of booking right on the ship for it to even pay off, right?
So they're going to be looking at probably 50-60% of capacity for the first quarter at least.
Right.
We had actually the first ship that sailed in Europe.
Okay.
It was for Italians only, and it went to Italian ports, although they went to Malta, so they went right outside it. This week, they had specific rules. If you were leaving the ship, you could only go on ship excursions, and one family did not, and they didn't let them back on the ship.
You mean they didn't follow the rules?
They didn't follow
the rules. And had to stay in the port and fly home?
They had to fly home.
Oh.
So the rules are the rules. If we're going to get through this, that's the way it's going to have to be. If you want to travel, that's the way it's going to have to be on specific things. So
now, do they make money on 50% capacity? I guess they have to change. I mean, obviously the food, all that stuff is tied to the number of people.
It's going to be tight for them to actually make money, but they should probably be able to break out even.
Stay in business, right? Yeah.
Correct. Till they get to the point, you know, that they can make it even more. There'll be some consolidation. I think the big ones will still be around for sure. Carnival, Royal Caribbean, Celebrity.
Well, they have money, right?
Norwegian. Yeah. They're pretty well financed right now to last another year and a half. If they had zero income,
right,
they'd still be around.
Right.
But, you know, they're getting cash flow with people making deposits for next year. So that'll keep cash flow going. And, you know, so things are good. The airlines are, as you've seen, I'm sure, they're cutting back and the capacity is less. American just cut out 20 or 15 cities that they're not going to service for the next year.
Yeah, because they want to fill their planes.
Right. Yeah. And it's not even American. It's really American Eagle. It's always
their smaller commuter one, right? Yeah.
It's a small regional carrier of which they have 20 of them.
It's like United Express, right?
It's not really. They're flying under the United banner and their ticketing is under United, but it's really not. It's a subsidiary of a subsidiary type thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. I mean, Mexico's doing an awesome job. Their COVID numbers are actually going down, not up.
Right.
And they're getting busy, as busy as they can get it, you know, 30, 40, 50% capacity. But, you know, people are getting, the reviews are just phenomenal from down there. So,
well, I mean, look, they're in the hospitality business, right? So they got to do a really good job so they get good PR. They do a bad job, they're dead in the water. So
yeah, and they've had enough of their own issues over the years, which are, you know, media inflated and stuff.
Right.
And this just would make it worse. All it takes is one. So we were kind of waiting with bated breath with this first cruise, even though it was limited to just Italians going to Italian ports.
That was what, in the Mediterranean or
in the Med, yeah.
You know, so I don't know.
Is that one.
I don't know if I'll be comfortable to go on a boat so soon, but I'm not a big boat person anyway. I get seasick, so I'd take pills the whole time or whatever.
I'd go tomorrow. I would. I actually have. I doubt it's going to go through. I'm sure they're going to cancel it. But November 4th is the inaugural sailing of the New Virgin Voyages, the Scarlet
November
Lady.
November 4th. So yeah, think that's going to go?
I don't know. They canceled everything through October 31st. We'll know more probably another 4 weeks or no. Won't be that long. Probably another 2 weeks. We'll know. It's all going to be.
They got to make a decision. Now, let me ask you a question. So, I know a lot of cruisers tend to buy like insurance, trip insurance, right?
100%.
Because when you're buying, you know, when it's that big of a package, you know, $120 airline ticket or even a $300 airline ticket may not buy insurance, but you know, on these packages, you tend to buy that. So, if something like this happens. Assuming it's a covered expense, even if it's a voucher, right? Does the insurance company pay the cruise line for your travel that you didn't go on and then you have a voucher later on? I mean, does the cruise lose money on the deal?
No. So what'll happen is, and we do a lot of third-party insurance.
Right.
The cruise lines, using them as an example, they have decent insurance, but
they have their own insurance also.
A lot of things that the outside insurance company will do,
like third party, got it.
Outside the U.S. and you're at a port and you can't get back on the ship. God forbid you get hurt that bad or sick.
Right.
How are you going to get home?
You got to be airlifted out or something.
Yeah. I mean, I buy insurance. Every single trip I take, I buy insurance.
Okay.
So the insurance, to answer your question, is, if you get a voucher, there is insurance doesn't cover it because you're getting a voucher.
Meaning
so
they're just giving you
to insure.
They're taking your money and they're applying it to a different point.
They would give you a credit to apply to the next trip to whatever, using the voucher, whatever, it'll be the same value. So now what's happening is a lot of the cruises, for example, they are offering 125% if they've canceled it because of COVID.
Okay.
When you book the next trip, you're going to use that voucher up. You're going to have to pay more money in insurance because the insurance company goes by the next trip's cost. Even though you didn't pay for it out of your pocket, you have to pay for it as if you did. Okay. So you have to insure the whole thing. Now, the other hand with insurance with COVID, and it's been there for decades. It wasn't specifically for COVID. Pandemics are specifically excluded from insurance.
So yeah, because the old stuff like SARS and MERS, and they got correct. Smart about it, right? Yeah.
Way back when, decades ago, they right. did all this. So if you cancel a trip because of COVID, you're SOL. You're right. done. You right. can't. It's the insurance is not going to cover it.
However, is it insured if the government says you shut
nope.
down?
No. Nope.
Interesting.
Trip cancellation or trip interruption insurance is not covered due to a pandemic or war.
Okay.
So those are two big exclusions that are little tiny print, but again, they've been there for decades. It's not COVID specific.
Right.
However, what they will cover is if you got sick, if you got COVID,
right,
and you couldn't go, it's just like any other illness. So,
oh, I see. It doesn't cover like because of the pandemic, you're not going to travel, but it does cover if you're sick
correct.
For whatever reason, you can't
correct.
Go. Okay.
And you would require doctor's notes, hospital, if it was a hospitalization or
right. You'd whatever, have the records
just like it was before this happened. I mean, it's, you know, it has to be, it's covered for that. If right. you have a death in the family, that usually most insurances are your immediate family, mother, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, grandparents, children, obviously, any of those things, God forbid somebody passed away, then, you know, that would be a covered deal. If you're going as a group, like we have a group of 30 going somewhere for Christmas. If the yeah. grandmother who's putting this whole thing together, something happens to her, everybody else is covered. You don't have to be sick, but she's one of your traveling, you're going because of her or with her. Then everybody that has insurance would be covered if something happened to her.
Yeah, we had a trip 22 years ago, I think, when I first met my wife. I didn't know her. I met her because we didn't go on the trip. So my dad had open heart surgery. He had a triple bypass. The whole trip was insured. We were supposed to go to Vancouver, I think, British Columbia. It was my grandparents' like 60th wedding anniversary. The whole family was going. So my uncles, cousins, everybody, and the whole thing was covered because my dad couldn't travel because he was just recovering from the heart surgery.
So. And you know what? I think this pandemic has shown people you never know what the heck is going to happen.
You got it.
Unfortunately, it could happen tomorrow to any yep. of us. And you have to protect your investment. Your investment is your vacation.
Yeah.
Now, for some people, it's bigger percentage of your money than it is others. But, you know, it's very rare for us today to not book a trip without insurance.
Right. It's too risky. So what you do lose is the premium, whatever premium you paid.
You would definitely, just like if you got insurance on a car and you sold the car and you don't have that insurance anymore, or you sold right. the house and
right.
it is what it is. It's
now, is it a percentage? Is it generally a percentage of the trip cost?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be based on, if it's a group, it'll be based on the cost itself, no matter what the age. If we okay. do a group plan, if it's individual plans, it's based on your age and the cost of the trip.
Got it. Okay. So if it's a group package, you do like, it's like a percentage of, maybe it's a few percentage points of whatever the total package is.
And it's a sliding scale. And the beauty with a group plan is if you have a lot of older people,
yeah.
the insurance is much more expensive the older you get.
Right.
And if you have, you know, a mixed bag like that family, we have a mixed bag. So the kids are actually paying a little more, but the majority that are older are paying a lot less.
Yeah, because you're averaging it down basically.
Yeah, it's not age based, it's dollar based.
Right. It's like group life insurance that's getting, you know.
Yeah.
Same type of thing. Right. Exactly.
Just the way it is.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, I appreciate you spending some time with me. If anybody wants to, you know, get a hold of you, we'll put some connections and links in the show notes. But what's the best way for people to kind of connect with you and learn about your business?
They can certainly email me at mark@ketravel.com. That's easy. Mark with a K.
Okay.
And my phone number is 561-966-9808.
Okay, we'll put that all in the show notes. Are you on social media? Can they find you on LinkedIn, Facebook, I don't know, whatever.
TikTok, I am on LinkedIn, whatever. Not as much as I probably should be, but I am there. Obviously, on Facebook under my name, as well as my company, K&E and A&D. K and spelled out, not the ampersand like my logo is behind me.
Right.
So it's actually spelled out. I'm very active on social media as far as with the travel agency. We make posts every single day.
Right. They can follow you and stuff. Yeah.
And they follow me and on Instagram as well. It's at KE Travel.
Okay. So we'll put all those links. Monday. Let's put all those links in the show notes as well.
That's great. Right.
Well, Mark, I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Mitch. I appreciate the opportunity.
Sounds good.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.